Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, give us ears to hear that we might hear your word this day. Amen. You know, imagine, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you were one of that crowd that day, following Jesus around like some people follow around popular musicians from one city to the next. That particular day, you're out with, I don't know, maybe 1,000 other people waiting to hear what Jesus was going to say next. You're on the beach. There's warm sand on the bottom of your feet. Not a bad place to listen to a sermon. And Jesus is there just off the shore in a boat, his disciples sitting there with him. And as Jesus then sits down to begin to teach, the crowds grow quiet to hear what it is that he has to say. And then in a voice, so that all could hear, he calls out. A sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You think to yourself, wow, what a great sermon. You look around at the other people who are standing there, and they're all shrugging their shoulders saying, what does this mean? If we read the part in between, that's what the disciples want to know. They want to know why Jesus is teaching now in parables when previously he had been preaching and teaching in a very plain and direct sort of way. Why this change in teaching? Jesus talks to his disciples and he says, look, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. To the one who has, more will be given. To the one who has abundance, but to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But you, disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear. They did not hear it. Well, as we read that, we ask the question of ourselves and of Jesus, well, is he teaching in parables to reveal something to people, to those who are hearing, or is he preaching in parables so that he can hide something for those who are hearing? And the answer is yes. It's a good Lutheran way to answer a question, isn't it? It's helpful for us for a little context to understand why the disciples were asking that question, because that comes before our reading. From the time of Jesus' baptism up until this point, Jesus has been announcing that the kingdom of God is at hand, meaning this: the promise of God to rule and reign in his anointed has finally come in that person and the work of Jesus Christ, the one of Nazareth. The ones who would come into his kingdom through responding to the law, the preaching of God's word, with repentance of sin, and then believing in the gospel, believing in faith in Christ for his work of forgiveness, that is how one would enter the kingdom. John was going before Jesus, announcing this in the desert, and Jesus was now demonstrating that God had now come to dwell with his people. He was healing the sick, raising the dead, driving out demons, feeding the crowds, and the people loved it. The people liked it. They knew that there was something different about Jesus. He gave them food to eat. He healed their diseases and their sicknesses. But not all of them trusted or believed in Jesus to be their Savior. He tickled their fancy. There was something different about this guy from Nazareth whose parents and brothers and sisters they thought they knew, but is he the Messiah? The problems really began for Jesus when he started talking about the law and putting it in its right place, particularly concerning the Sabbath. The religious leaders of the day took note. We all know that one sure way to upset a group of people is to challenge what they hold sacred, right? Could you imagine coming to church on Christmas Eve and not singing Silent Night with candles in your hands? Whew. Now that's just a tradition. That's not the law. Challenging what the religious leaders held sacred is what Jesus did when he reclaimed and sanctified the Sabbath to restore God's original intent for it. Jesus was restoring a proper view of the Sabbath, a proper view of the law, but the religious leaders, they didn't want to hear it. In fact, they wanted to put an end to the alleged blasphemous and apparent sacrilegious teachings that Jesus, the rabbi, was spouting out. They rejected Jesus, and they sent out to silence him permanently. Instead, then, of just kind of plugging along with the simple and the direct proclamation of the kingdom of God, as Jesus had been doing in the past, or from abandoning his sacred mission altogether, Jesus changes his preaching and his teaching tactics, but not the content. Instead of the full frontal assault, he attacks from the flanks. He teaches people in parables. They might hear, but they may not believe. A few things to keep in mind when Jesus uses parables. And the first is this, that they are God's way of teaching what God is doing in the world. They are about God's reign in Jesus Christ for the redemption of all and the recreation of his creation. Right? So that's to say, the main actor in the parables is always Jesus. Another way to say it is this, that the parables are about the work of the Word. And the Word, made flesh, is Jesus. When Jesus preaches and teaches, he is always bringing law and gospel to bear in the lives of those who hear. And that's the second thing. When the parables teach us is people's reactions. People's reactions to hearing the message of the kingdom of God. People's reactions to hearing law and gospel preaching. They either hide or reveal those who hear them, right? Here's the mystery, right? Those who hear and believe what it is that God is saying in his word, the Holy Spirit works repentance and faith in them. And they hear. But for those who hear and don't believe or reject or understand, there is a hardening of their heart to reject God's gracious reign in Christ. The telling of the parables reveals the character of God in Christ Jesus. One thing that you see in all the parables is that God is gracious. He is abounding in love and slow to anger, as we read in Psalm 103. He's desiring that all should repent and come to the knowledge of him. That is the purpose for which Christ has come. And some people get a little confused, suggesting that, well, if Jesus is preaching in parables, he's just trying to confuse people. That he's being cryptic because he doesn't really want all people to repent of their sin or to come to faith in him. But that's just nonsense. I mean, consider this. Jesus really could have just left. He could have shut his mouth completely. He could have stopped in the face of opposition and withdrawn his gracious hand and withheld his gracious word. But instead, he endured suffering and shame and scorn. He keeps preaching and keeps teaching so that others might repent and believe in him. His teaching looked like failure to the world. Right? His whole ministry seemed to be a failure. And the religious leaders, they seemed to be right as they succeeded in having Jesus silenced on the cross. Or so they thought. But see, this is God's way. The reign of God in Christ comes in weakness and in humility. And it may be rejected and cast aside by others. I mean, think of the scandal of Jesus, a king born in a manger. Not the son of a king who sits on a throne, but the son of a carpenter. Rejected by all sorts of people, hanging on a cross as he suffers and dies. He comes in weakness and humility, able to be rejected and in ways that some men are even ashamed of. But Christ comes, and he proclaims the kingdom. He speaks law and gospel to his people, to all people. And in this way, it's the power of God for salvation for all who believe. Now, here's the beautiful thing with this particular text is, when we hear the parable, we also get to hear Jesus explain why he's telling it. And not only why he's telling it, but what it means. He tells his disciples, "We'll hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it," one could say believe it, "the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, and yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, chokes the word, and it proves unfruitful. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. This is one who hears the word and believes it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, in another, 30. This is how it might look today. Right? Parents, when you have a child, you tell them about Jesus. You talk about his life, his death, his resurrection, his return in glory. You're showing them and proclaiming and teaching them the reign of God in Christ Jesus, bringing them to hear God's word, law and gospel. But for some reason, they don't get it. There's no connection. As if someone or something prevents the hearing. As a result, there's no repentance or faith in Christ. It could be the word being sown among along the path. Or another might be a person who attends something like Promise Keepers or a Woman of Faith, or there was that IU gathering not too long ago, a church-related evangelism event. And the person there responds with faith and turning their lives over to God, yet a year later, after some hard luck and some tough questions from friends, they abandon the commitment that was made, and their faith in Christ withers away. And those who come to church on Sunday morning, they hear about the life, death, and resurrection, the return of Jesus. They hear law and gospel preaching, but later they conclude that the church is asking for too much money, and service time interferes with their play time, and so eventually you just stop showing up and hearing the word. Repentance of sin, faith in Christ, choked out. Then there are those who hear the word of God, law and gospel, respond in faith, and live in love for their neighbor, bearing fruit, trusting that Christ has done all for them, the King who suffered and died in their place. He who has ears, let him hear. The Lord spoke in parables. How can we make this application for our lives today? Well, here's the good news, brothers and sisters in Christ. The word of the Lord is still sown and still does to this very day what God has sent it out to do. It either brings people to repentance and faith, long gospel preaching, or that same preaching of the word hardens their hearts. Through the seemingly lowly forms of preaching and the sacraments, the Lord still brings people into his kingdom, those who hear and believe. But through baptism, the Lord graciously brings us under his reign as he kills the old man and rises us again in Christ. Well, pastors who are called to serve their congregations, well, the Lord is sending laborers into the harvest field to announce and proclaim the reign of God in Christ. Wherever the seeds of the gospel are publicly sown and the sacraments properly administered, be assured God is at work. Wherever you are in your vocation, and you confess that Jesus is King, that you uphold the law and you share the gospel, God is at work. For without the sowing of the seed of God's word, there would be no good fruit on earth at all, only the savage birds of hell, shallow soil, and thorns and thistles that choke out all life. But thanks be to God that Jesus has come, and he still comes to graciously sow his word so that we would hear and believe, live under him in his kingdom. The second thing is this, it's maybe a word of encouragement or a word of caution. It means that though God's word is still sown, his word may be rejected, right? It means that though your pastors may be faithful sowers of God's word, our church's ministry may not grow numerically. Why? Well, because it's not popular to be told to repent of sin. The law is not a popular thing to want to hear. It's not popular to be told to repent and trust in Jesus for forgiveness. It's not popular to be told that gossip is sin and that it destroys Christian fellowship. It's not popular to be told that God has something to say about our finances. It's not popular to say that ultimately God is God and his plan for your life is ultimately and certainly not what you naturally would have chose for yourself. See, Jesus doesn't bully you to believe. And that proclamation of his kingdom, the word of law and gospel, might be rejected. People of God, this means that when you speak with people in your vocations, you might face rejection. You might face rejection when you confess that God has something to say. Like when your grown kid comes to you and says that they're going to move in with their boyfriend or their girlfriend because it will, quote, save us money. When you tell your child in love that the Lord has something to say about it, well, they might reject God's word. Whether privately or publicly, right? God's word still must be spoken. It must be spoken out of love for those who even still may reject it. Right? Ours is to sow according to our vocations, publicly, privately, trusting that God's word will accomplish that which it was sent out for. Because God only knows, in the sowing of the seed, the proclaiming of God's word, law and gospel, he may bring about repentance and faith. The third thing is this. People of God are called to live with wisdom and practice vigilant discernment. In this parable, the enemies of God's word are exposed. The devil, who is active, doesn't want you to hear or believe or understand God's word. He's going to do whatever he can to snatch up the seed before you can even hear it. The world would have you more concerned with the latest and greatest, not trusting in some old, outdated teaching that seems to be irrelevant. Even our own natural selves are our enemies. None of us would ever by nature admit that we are wrong or bow to the law or admit that someone else is king and lord over all. But finally, brothers and sisters in Christ, there is great comfort and great encouragement. Knowing that Jesus is bringing his word, both law and gospel, into your lives today. When we begin a divine service, we do so by confessing our sin before the Lord, before one another. And look, the seed, the word of the Lord, has found good soil. When we trust the words of forgiveness on account of Christ, the seed, the word of the Lord, has found good soil. When we witness a baptism, and with the simple water and the word of God is joined, the seed has found good soil, and another child, another adult, is born into Christ's kingdom. Whenever we eat or drink the simple bread and wine combined with the word, and believe the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, the seed, the word of God, has found good soil. So take comfort. Be encouraged. Christ is king, and his kingdom will be proclaimed, for the word of the Lord endures forever. And that word of the Lord is at work in you, you and all who believe. You are the good soil that is bearing fruit. 100, 60, 30-fold, as the word of God abides in you and you in him. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.